It's Optional with Trey Wallace and Brendan Johns.
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
Throws it. Fakes the spike. In the end zone. Touchdown. Whoa. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
It's Optional. Happy Thursday to everyone. Hope you're having a great day. It's just glorious outside. It's beautiful. My goodness, I'll take it any day of the week and twice on Sundays. Man, it's just nice. It's football weather. Chance to my right, Brandon in front of me, running everything behind the boards. Chance, what's up, buddy?
What it do? What's happening?
Just trying to get over that craziness that was last night in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, man, what a great game. Red Sox, that game was just Red Sox-Astros, that was just a great game all the way to the end. And what about Benintendi?
That was clutch.
That was a hell of a catch.
That was clutch. And then, that was a hell of a catch. The crazy thing was Mookie.
Yep.
I mean, was it a catch? Could he have made the catch? Was it interference? I think, you know, look, I saw the replay. And I think he could have made the catch if the guys wouldn't have gotten his way. But also, it was behind that wall. Like,
yep.
And I don't know Major League Baseball rules. I'm not going to act like I do. But if it goes over a certain area, then the fans are able to go after it, right?
Yeah, yeah. If most of the time there's like a yellow marking at the top of the wall or, you know, some distinguishable feature. And, yeah, like you say, if at a certain point the fans can't come over. But there's often
right.
times where you do have that.
It's like the touchdown. Yep. Imaginary plane that extends up. That's why
exactly.
the fan didn't get kicked out of the game.
Exactly.
If it was truly fan interference,
most times
they would have ejected
it. Yeah, they take you out of the game immediately, too.
Well, they need like a wall cam then, like a pylon cam. They need a wall cam.
They need a wall cam.
Foul ball cam.
Baseball needs a lot of things that they haven't, you know.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, America's pastime. Very antiquated, a lot of rules. Like, you know, to be honest, why are you still using umpires behind the plate? You got so many cameras and technology where you really wouldn't need that for balls and strikes, per se. So it's a lot of things that, yeah.
It's true, but I think part of what baseball is the human error aspect.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely.
And they made the mistake of ever going to any replay. If you're going to do it, like you said, like now that we've gone on to doing replays, it's like, all right, well, why miss any calls now?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. That is the more broad point that I'm saying. Like the way that they do use replays and they talk about speeding up the game and trying to be more appealing to fans. It's you could use a lot more of the technology that we have. But you're right. I mean, that is what makes baseball, why people still love America's pastime, the ones that are true baseball heads, because of, you know, like you say, the human error involved aspect.
I love the umpire that he signaled it home run first.
Yeah.
And he was like, let me go back and look up that rule book. And they did. And I don't know. I thought they got the call right because I thought Mookie had a play on the ball. It's different. Houston's a lot different than other places when it comes to the outfield wall. There's no separation between the fans.
Are you guys
and the ball
one of those baseball conspiracy theorists thinking that the major league, like, wants –
they
Boston,
want Dodgers
Boston,
and Boston
Dodgers World Series, and they're going to try to make it happen.
They would like it, but I don't believe in like
right.
that they're actually behind the scenes, you know, do whatever you can to make sure
exactly.
that this matchup happens. But of course, baseball would love for it to be the Dodgers versus the Red Sox.
Not like a NBA reference for you. Game 6 of Sacramento,
yeah.
Los Angeles Lakers.
That's like two of their biggest markets as far as their coverage goes, fan appeal. You're talking about Red Sox fans and Dodgers fans. I mean, LA loves their Dodgers.
Can you imagine a World Series in LA? I mean, dang, man, I'd be up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
I would.
They
watch
wouldn't
it.
Be able to start till.
I just started
9 o'clock Central.
Oh yeah,
I mean Eastern.
I mean, I'll watch it.
That's
like the two best baseball. That's like the two best sports cities in America right now.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That'd be fun.
That was good. That was a good game last night. Tonight,
great
the
game.
Red Sox will try to wrap it up. Hopefully, they do that. Get it over with. Brewers and
Dodgers take the lead, man.
Yeah. So that will be fun to watch. College football tonight. Arkansas State versus Georgia. I think it's Georgia State tonight. And then there's also a Pac-12 game tonight. Now, Brandon's been on with me telling me that I should watch Thursday night football.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is what it is. Like, if there's a college game on, it's decent. I'll watch college over NFL. But he hasn't steered me wrong yet this year because the NFL games on Thursday night have been pretty good.
Yeah, and that's surprising from years past. They've been pretty crappy over the last couple of years, and now finally you're getting some good matchups. Yeah, I've been watching Thursday night football, but tonight I'll also be gravitating to my Bulls. The Bulls tip off. Start their season, Trailblazers.
Also, yeah, the Lakers start too.
Yeah, LeBron.
First game that matters for LeBron.
Is that in Portland?
It is in Portland. The Bulls will be traveling. So, I mean, there's a lot of good it's a good night for sports, man. I would definitely watch Thursday night football over that Arkansas State game.
Stanford plays Arizona State tonight.
Which game are you most excited for tonight? Baseball, NBA, college football, or Cardinals Broncos? Which
I'm going to go with the baseball, to be honest. That's the most exciting matchup because the Red Sox trying to close it out, Houston trying to hang on to
Verlander.
Hang on with Verlander, hits the mound tonight. They're trying to repeat as champs, do whatever they can to hang on. So the baseball is kind of where it's at. If you want chill bumps, I say.
I agree because it's an elimination game. And you always watch elimination games. I mean, it's fun. And I sat there and I watched six innings of baseball last night. But that game lasted forever. But I mean, I don't really care about watching the 1-5 Cardinals and Josh Rosen play the Broncos. I mean, it's an 8:20 kickoff on Fox, which is not good. I would rather watch Stanford play Arizona State tonight.
That would be a good one.
Yeah, college football than watching the NFL.
Little Pac-12 after dark. That
should
be a good
one. Who's LeBron play tonight?
I'm actually not sure on that.
I'll pull it up real quick.
That'd be interesting. This weekend coming up, it's Thursday today. Give it a little rundown of what's going on. Christopher Smith from MyBookie will join us at 1:30, go over all the SEC betting lines this weekend. Who's on upset alert? We'll hit on a few NFL topics with him, a few NFL games. The Titans are going to London today. And then we'll also hit on a few outside, games. College game day is going to Washington State.
Yep.
The Originator.
That's going to be a good one.
That'd be fun. Always wondered about college game day. For a couple of years, so I figured it out that they travel with the Washington State flag everywhere they go, and they give it to somebody to wave. If you don't know anything about, the college game day tradition of the Washington State flag, you should go look it up. It's pretty cool. So now they're going back this weekend, which will be 6 a.m. in the morning in Pullman when they go live on the air. And college game day has not really been what it was even 5 years ago with the excitement factor of things on campus.
Yeah, but I feel like that's just, sometimes – a little bit less is more. It was the there's so much coverage of everything now, and you don't necessarily people don't want to get up and watch it, or you don't necessarily have to, and the appeal's not there because you kind of get into this point of diminishing returns with it.
No, I agree. They went from 2 hours to 3 hours. Yeah. Then the SEC started their show, SEC Nation, already setting up on
campus.
You got
the SEC Network. If you were Texas Longhorn Network, ACC football is trying to start themselves a network. So the Pac-12 Network, there's so much coverage that you can kind of get burnt out to where you can just flip it to game day there at the end. And that's all really anybody cares about is watching.
God
the picks.
Bless Corso. He's just up there in Kirk Herbstreit.
Also, we got to talk about this big news affecting college basketball.
G League making that money.
Making the big move today.
Nick Bromberg, 215 today, too, from Yahoo Sports.
Awesome.
Chance, and we'll set it up here, and we'll talk about it on the other side for Christopher Smith. But how big a deal, for somebody like me that doesn't follow the NBA too much, but I'm getting into it now.
Yeah.
I'm getting into it.
Okay.
How big of a deal is this when it comes to high school players being able to go make between $50,000 and $125,000 a year in the G League compared to them going to college for a one and done, besides the obvious?
Well, obviously, yeah, they're trying to clean up the college, the NBA trying to do their part, and eventually you're going to just – they're going to go back to high school kids being able to go straight out of high school.
So?
Yeah, they're eventually going to go back to that. It's just, you know, with – you got to think about it from all aspects. The NBA is – although it may not be the most popular league, they're gaining popularity every year,
yeah.
And it's one of the more progressive. Like they don't have any problem talking about gambling. They want to get a piece of the pie. Adam Silver has said that as far as professional gambling goes. So they're setting themselves up to be even more marketable for their G League and more attractive. You know, who really knows about the G League unless you're just a big NBA head? But you might watch a little bit more games with some of these top elite prospects coming out of high school. And it also might improve the college game because the guys that are going to be going there may not be the most elite prospects, and they're staying longer. So the college game might be better because players stay longer, teams get better, and some of these four and five star recruits are going to be staying if they're not going to the G League right out of high school. So I think it's pretty huge. It's pretty big. They needed to do something, right? They need to do something. All the money that's getting thrown around, they had to do something.
It almost feels like, you know how they say a tie is like kissing your sister?
Yeah.
You know, you're kissing a girl, but it's your sister. That's almost what this feels like. You know, age restrictions in general. Like, un-American. As soon as you turn 18,
yeah,
I'm exactly. All for making as much money with your talents as you possibly
Free
can.
Free market system.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm glad they're moving this direction, but I definitely think, like you said, they're going to end up going back to, if you're good enough to play
in high school,
did not need to go to college for a year.
Kevin Durant, guys like that really didn't need to. So, yeah that's what it's going to find its way back. It all cyclical. It's coming back around.
I want to give, on a serious note before we go to break, and this is good news. I want to give my thoughts and prayers out to Tom Sadowick of Vol Hoops, a guy that's been a staple point around that program for years. They found a donor for him.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I know that they talked about that, I guess, a while back whenever he found out.
So yeah. They found a donor for him. It looks like this is from his wife. But around 11:30 yesterday morning, we finally got the call we've been waiting for so long. They just took him back for surgery, which they expect to last anywhere from 4 to 8 hours. So donate life is the main thing for him. Hopefully surgery goes well. Thoughts and prayers to Tom Sadowick, a great guy around the Tennessee.
Hopefully has a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're thinking about Tom today and everybody over there in the building at Tennessee. So we'll see you on the other side. We'll break down more of this G League talk. We'll keep things rolling on that front. Then Christopher Smith is going to join us. You can make your picks. It's optional. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. Tennessee, Alabama weekend, third Saturday in October. Is it actually
Alabama?
Is it actually third Saturday in October?
Yeah, dude.
It is. Okay.
Yeah, dude.
Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it hasn't been on the third Saturday.
Come on, Trey.
Man, dang it.
Come on, Trey.
I've been getting hate messages from people that I know from the state of Alabama for the last 4 or 5 days, and I'm about tired of it. My cell phone won't stop blowing up with memes and just derogatory messages, and
it's Alabama Hate Week, dude.
It's Alabama Hate Week, so it is what it is. Getting back real quick before we get to Christopher Smith, and we're going to talk a lot of Tennessee Alabama today. Don't worry, in SEC, but to this G League thing, real quick. It would prevent things. Okay. I don't think it would prevent like Nike and Adidas going after these high schoolers, but it would prevent the colleges getting involved if they didn't have to go through those certain routes, right?
Exactly.
So what if you are a five-star, four-star prospect and you're 18 years old and the G League comes up to you and offers you, hey, look, we'll give you 60 Gs. And if you're a five-star, you know, okay, maybe we'll give you up to 100, 125 Gs to play in this league. That, well, literally what you're going to do is it's almost like you're a high schooler and you get drafted by a Major League Baseball team, but you got to go play for the farm system for a year.
Yeah, I mean, it's the minor league system for you to expand your skills as a professional athlete and get compensated for because of your talents. You know, these guys become, you know, the marketing for a lot of these, you know, programs that pull in a lot of money. And now the NBA is given an opportunity to try to clean up some of it. Like I said, you're never going to clean up all, like, the corrupt activity behind the scenes. Like, it's always going to be
there. Sometimes you make more in college than you would at the G League.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes, yeah, possibly. But it is going to – those guys who want to be paid for – you know, their talents and don't want to go waste a year in college simply because they know they're going to be one and done. It takes those players out of the system.
Right.
They're going to have the opportunity if they don't want to go to college, and then you're getting players. And I think you make basketball a little bit better on the college level, getting players that are going to be staying longer, not – you're not competing so much with one-and-done prospects with other schools. To an extent, it could level the playing field and just make it better.
Yeah, what's the best way to ask this question? Would you, when you look at these college athletes, are there enough high school players out there that would make it interesting where would a Zion Williamson turn down
a 1 year at Duke to go make $125,000, because that's what they're talking about? I don't know if that's like the max payment that these guys would. Yeah, he would definitely do it, because also, when you do this, you know, go ahead and go to the G League, you can go ahead and start signing shoe contracts such.
There you go.
You can go ahead and start apparel deals, advertising, sponsorships. You can go ahead and make money off of yourself. You can't do that if you go to college.
So you're laying a foundation.
You're still an amateur. Yeah, you're kind of building your brand right off. I mean, Zion Williamson could have done that for a year and, you know, makes the money, and he could already have a Nike deal right now and such because of, you know, his potential.
Would Zion be good enough right now to go play in the NBA?
I believe so. I mean, if you're
easily drafted.
Easily drafted, easily in the G League.
So he'd be
sure.
He'd be
a lottery pick.
He'd definitely be a lottery pick. I think he could average about 18 points in the G League right now, you know, somewhere around that 16 to 18. The guy's just super athletic.
Wow. He can shoot, dunk, pass, run, like,
and he's big. It's not a kid that went to college and, hey, we got to put some weight on him. He's already got that size. More what they're trying to do now is trim him down and get some of that baby fat. But he had size where, yeah, he'd easily be able to compete every night in the G League.
Who was the last high school player that came out?
I mean,
I don't know. When did the rule change?
Yeah, right. That's what I'm getting at. Like,
I can't remember exactly
like
what
J.R. Smith came out.
J.R. Smith feels like he's been around the league for over 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, possibly. He may have. Yeah, he's been in the league. I mean, LeBron's been in the league for, you know, 15 seasons.
You don't think about it like that, though. Like, it's weird. Like, I don't – for some reason, I don't know. When I look at LeBron –
J.R. Smith was really talented out of high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, there are a lot of guys. I mean, think about
it. How many Kentucky players would be playing for this G League team right now, for a G League team?
I mean, at least probably 2 to 3, yeah. No doubt. Anthony Davis was a guy. He didn't need to go to college. I mean, guys like that.
Boogie didn't need to go. No. I promise you. I was watching him down on the floor.
John Wall didn't need a year of college. He was ready.
Devin Booker might be the only one that probably benefited a lot from going to college for that 1 year, as far as Kentucky stars.
Yeah, I just
– Derrick Rose didn't need it. I mean, there's been a lot of guys in the last, you know, X amount of drafts that you can look at that really did. DeAndre Ayton. That would have been a guy who would have went straight to the G League. I mean, he just had – he had like 18 points last night or something in his debut. He's a man. Yeah.
Interesting time, though, that I think because of everything that's going on in New York right now with the FBI, versus, you know, the apparel brands and college basketball coach, you know, assistant coaches and the trial, and all of a sudden here comes the G League, and hey, we'll offer you, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to come play a half a season, and you can still get called up.
Yeah.
You can get called up during the season. Get a 10-day.
Get a 10-day contract, or, you know, just get called up to be on the full roster. So this is very beneficial for these guys.
And in some of these towns where they had these G Leagues at, it's interesting to me. Like, I think they have one in, like, Corpus Christi, Texas, I think, or
it's like minor league baseball.
Yeah, Iowa City.
It's not the damn Cape Cod League.
Right. Right. It's like, okay, Kodak, Tennessee has a minor league baseball team.
Yeah. Do they really?
Yeah, it's where the Smokies play.
The Smokies.
Oh, just say Sevierville. Don't say Kodak, Tennessee.
I mean, it's in Kodak.
Thank you, Chance.
It is, though. Like, it's in Kodak. Yeah.
I thought it was up there near Pigeon Forge.
I mean, Kodak's close there, yeah.
Dang it. Okay. I don't know where Kodak, Tennessee. Well, I do now. It's where the Smokies play.
Eric on Twitter says, kind of depends on how much Duke gave him, I guess referring to Zion
Duke
Williams.
Duke gave him money.
Well, of course. I mean, it's a little blip, you know.
I'm so tired
of Coach K. But not like this is what, like, everybody's, oh, I need to clean up the game somewhat. This is not going to clean it up because at the college level, you're making so much money as well. So the money is always there. But this will help. This will help just like these guys that don't need to go one and done. Like, just let them go. Like, you shouldn't. And like what Brandon said, 18 years old should be able to.
Why y'all, before we go to break, I mean, you got Grit coming in with Kodak laughing at me.
Kodak?
It's like, I didn't know what Kodak was. Kodak, Tennessee. Like, I didn't know. I just knew that.
You also called the Bijou the Bijor. So,
oh, I found out too.
We are not surprised
that Drew Holcomb and the Neighbors is playing at the Bijor Theater.
Yeah, the Bijor in
February.
That's awesome.
So I'm excited about it. You don't know who it is, and it's all good. But I'm just saying,
I know it's not the Bijor.
I'm a big Drew Holcomb guy, though. So
okay,
I like
good,
that. I
good.
Like that.
I might take you to the show. You never know.
I'm all for it.
But I'm just saying, I thought it was just the, you know, Sevierville area. I didn't know it's Kodak. So get off. You know, it is what it is.
Sometimes it'd be like that, Trey.
I'm just learning my way around here, man. It's so hard. There's so many small little areas around here that I got to get used to. Like Powell? Isn't Powell just in Knoxville? Like, what the hell? Farragut? That's in Knoxville. Whatever.
It's like New York City. Five boroughs, one city.
Yeah, dude.
I'm getting
Powell, there. Clinton.
We're getting there.
Merville.
Not, yeah, whatever. Take a break. Christopher Smith, my bookie, coming up next. We're talking college football and NFL betting odds. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. Don't forget to head out to Corner 16 Pub today. Russell, Bear, Brandon, sure Rick will be back here in studio, but they're hanging out live on remote today. Go hang out with them.
Some good grub out there.
Go have an afternoon, early dinner, an early, you know, early drink, happy hour. Go enjoy it with them. Fantastic place over there. So go and stop by. I'm sure they'll be giving something away. And I'm sure they're always fun to talk to during the breaks. But now, I want to know what it looks like for the weekend, how my betting picks, my lines, my odds, my prop bets, everything that we need to know. I go to my man Christopher Smith from mybookie.ag. Christopher, good afternoon to you, brother. How are you?
Hey, Trey, how's it going in Tennessee today?
Man, you know, it's good. It feels good outside. Tennessee got a win against Auburn this past weekend. I mean, I'm telling you, and, you know, and my producer, Brandon, he keeps telling me that your picks have been pretty spot on this year, and you're doing a darn good job. So I hope people are taking notice of what you're throwing out there.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And I thought that win by Tennessee last week was hilarious, just to see Auburn fans just go back and forth about their, what is it, like their $32 million buyout they have with Malzahn on now.
It's bad, man. And from what I've heard, they've got money. So we'll... I don't know. I think I guess we'll start off with that game this weekend since that's a noon kickoff. But, you know, Auburn traveling to Ole Miss, Christopher, and this is a game where if Ole Miss beats up on Auburn, things could get really interesting on the plains with Gus Malzahn if they're sitting at 4-4 after this weekend. Auburn is a 3.5-point favorite, and that kind of surprises me a little bit. What is your take on Ole Miss and that offense that they have? Can they beat Auburn just straight up on Saturday and cover that?
They certainly could, and I also feel like you're spot on about this game being super important for Auburn, just because they still have games at Georgia, at Alabama, and at Texas A&M, and they already have three losses. So if they lose this game, you could be looking at an Auburn team that started the season in the AP top 10 and then didn't make a bowl game. So I kind of feel like Auburn will be in desperation mode here, and we've seen, you know, the Ole Miss defense. It's definitely takeable for even a team like Auburn, whose offensive line may be the worst in the SEC. I think Malzahn is sort of the problem here. Like, I lean toward Auburn in this game, but Jarrett Stidham, who came from Baylor, obviously, is probably their number one offensive, you know, positive right now, and they got some good receivers. But they're making him basically play inside a telephone booth instead of just spreading everybody out wide and letting him throw the ball all over the field. And if Malzahn continues to be stubborn, which there's no reason to think he won't continue to do that, then, Ole Miss could definitely win this game. I just think it's a good spot for Auburn, but that doesn't mean the way they've been playing lately that I want to put my money down on them necessarily. I do like the over in this game because, as you mentioned, even though Auburn's got a really good defense, Ole Miss will keep chucking the ball downfield, and they'll come up with at least a few big plays in this one. So if I'm putting my money on this one, I'm definitely leaning toward the over here.
Christopher, I mean, you know SEC football just as much as anybody else, man, and that could turn into an absolute dumpster fire in Auburn if they come out of their 4-4, and especially those three games left. I don't see how that town would be happy. Look, somebody's got to be fired. Either it's an OC or the president that approved that horrendous contract extension. So I tend to agree with you with the way things are going in Auburn right now. I kind of want to switch gears to Kentucky. Kentucky is a team to me, Christopher, and I'd love your opinion on this, where they put up a hell of a fight against Texas A&M, and they could have won that ball game. They should have won that ball game with the turnovers that A&M gave them. But now they're sitting there in a spot where if they can get past the next 2 weeks, they set up a huge matchup with Georgia. Now, they come into this game around 11.5-point favorite over Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, Kentucky is always a weird game. Do you see it flowing that way, or should people go ahead and take Kentucky in that spread right now?
Yeah. Basically what I do every week personally is before the lines even come out on Sunday,
yep,
I sit down and kind of write out what I think the line should be, so that way I can compare it to the actual line.
Okay.
And my initial gut instinct in this game was leaning toward Vanderbilt. I mean, they played Florida tough. You know, they played Notre Dame tough. I don't think Kentucky is as good as either one of those two teams. But then the more that I studied it, you look at Vanderbilt's defense against SEC offenses going back to the start of last season, and it's really bad. I mean, I think that's what got lost in that game Saturday. You know, Florida had about as bad as the first half as they could have possibly had. But look at the yardage total they were able to put up on Vanderbilt. And I don't think Florida's offense is exactly explosive right now, even with Dan Mullen. So to me, you know, one of the things Kentucky's had trouble with is when they come up against a really good defense that can kind of stack the box and say, I dare you to throw, and I know you can't throw. And Vanderbilt right now doesn't have a defense that I think can do that. So after rethinking it, look at it a little further, I do like Kentucky in this game. It's more of a lean than like, hey, I'm going to bet big on this. But I do think Vanderbilt's defense is going to give them trouble the rest of the season.
Now, Chris, looking at, you know, the hot team right now, if we want to call them that, LSU, they got a big game on Saturday. They take on Mississippi State. Another big game in Death Valley. They come in as a 6.5 favorite. Do you like LSU? Mississippi State had a big win too, and they're coming off a emotional win, if you want to call it that. Is it safe to still ride the LSU train right now, or this could be a slip for them as they might be looking ahead to Alabama?
Well, LSU's coming off of, they've been an underdog 3 times this year and won outright all 3 times. They were an underdog twice last year, won 1 out of 2 there. And Ed Orgeron is 10-2 against the spread as a head coach against SEC football teams at LSU, which is crazy to me. But I think the big thing in this game is, you mentioned the emotional win by LSU last week in Georgia. They're playing their 8th consecutive game this week, and this is their 4th consecutive game against SEC opponents, whereas Mississippi State had a bye week last week. And you look at the game last year between these teams, and I know it was in Starkville, Mississippi State just crushed LSU in that game physically. And one of the things that confused me about the Georgia game last weekend was, do you remember the drive where they tried the fake field goal? Where, like,
yeah.
The whole drive, they ran the ball right down the field. And then after that drive, they were behind, 16-0 pretty fast. But the rest of that game, they basically just threw the ball. And I think LSU's defense, you can actually run the ball against that defense this year. And I think Joe Moorhead has finally come to the realization this year that he can't throw the ball, and he might as well just ride his running game and see what he gets out of it. So I actually think there's some good matchups in favor of Mississippi State personnel-wise in this game. I think they'll be able to run the ball. I think they'll be able to stop LSU from running the ball. And also, I'm a lot higher on LSU's passing game than most people are. I think they've actually done a pretty decent job there. The receivers haven't been great. But I think Mississippi State's secondary is good enough to hold them there, too. So I think this is just a bad spot for LSU, even though I have them higher in my power rankings. If you can get Mississippi State at 6.5 or 7, I like that in this game. I like them to keep it maybe within a field goal.
Quickly, for somebody like me, hasn't had the best of luck this season with some games. What's some surefire games that you like this weekend, some picks that you might suggest to get back on track?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to the Big Ten for one of my favorite bets. I know it's also one of the biggest games of the weekend, Michigan at Michigan State.
Yep,
I think Harbaugh is what, 1-5 to this point against the other 3 big teams in his division. But if you look now, people kind of just discounted Michigan after they lost at Notre Dame in week 1, and that was Shea Patterson's first game in that offense. And people were pretty upset at me for keeping Michigan in my top 10 at that time. And now it looks like Michigan may be perhaps the best team in the Big Ten. Now, they've got a tough schedule. They already have 1 loss. But I think right now their defense obviously could arguably be the best in the country. And Michigan State, no matter what, they run the ball on first and second down, like, period. And then let their quarterback try to throw them out of it on 3rd and long. And, Michigan's defense is tremendous against the run. And their pass defense is scary when you get into 3rd and long situations. So I know the history there. I know Michigan State, just beat Penn State. I know a lot of people are not on the Harbaugh bandwagon right now. But I think from a matchup standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan just crushed Michigan State here. I mean, Harbaugh's been waiting for this moment for a long time. I think they win this one by at least 2 touchdowns and maybe set up a huge game the rest of the way. They still have to play, 2 or 3 other big Big Ten games. So I don't know that they'll make it to the Big Ten championship game, but I think they have a real chance to put a lot of scares into people this weekend. That's one game that I really like.
Christopher here in Knoxville, Tennessee, coming off a big win against Auburn. And unfortunately, they don't get like a Charlotte or even just like a South Carolina to play. They have to play Alabama. And Nick Saban is going to say what he has to say in regards to his starting quarterback, if he's actually healthy enough to play. If he's not, I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of Jalen Hurts on Saturday. But 29 points, Alabama's favored by right now in my bookie. Is this something where Tennessee could somehow sneak in and cover this spread? For some reason, I don't see Tennessee losing by 29 points. And it's just, the way their defense is played, their secondary is getting better. What's your read on Tennessee, Alabama? Can they hold it to under 29 points on Saturday?
This is probably a stay-away game for me for a number of reasons. You know, Tennessee is definitely getting better, and I think if you're a Tennessee fan, at least for now, you have to be very encouraged by what Jeremy Pruitt's been able to do with that team. You know, all of a sudden, they've got a very, very good chance to make a bowl game, which you wouldn't have thought a couple weeks ago. At least I wouldn't have. And I think that would be just a huge accomplishment for that team and that fan base after the start they had this year and after the end of the last season. Now, coming off the emotional win at Auburn and now having to face Alabama, you know, one, you look at the turnovers in that Auburn game. I think it was 4-0. Auburn turned the ball over 4 times. Tennessee didn't. To me, that's what it's going to come down to in this game in terms of the Tennessee covering the spread, just because, you know, if they flip that in any way or they lose, you know, even turnovers or lose one or two compared to Alabama, Alabama can take advantage of that and could win by 35-plus. Now, regardless of if Tua plays, I think one of the reasons why he didn't have his best game last week against Missouri was his knee. Even before he came out of the game, I thought he was not feeling comfortable and setting his feet and really, you know, pushing into his throws. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays, but he's sort of similarly not at the top of his game. I think if you're Tennessee and you want to cover the spread and the turnovers are fine, the one thing you can't do is when Jalen Hurts comes in the game, let them have just these long, sustained drives over and over and over again until your run defense just get worn out late in the game. So for me, it's probably a pass. This is a huge number. Tennessee is definitely playing much better. The Vegas has been almost dead on in the last 4 Alabama games with their lines. It's come down to like the last, you know, few minutes of the game, each of the last 4 games for Alabama in terms of the spread. So it's probably a pass for me, but I'm definitely very interested to see, you know, how Tennessee handles this game.
Last thing before I let you go, do the Red Sox finish this thing up tonight and head to the World Series, Christopher? Is this happening?
Well, as somebody holding a Red Sox World Series futures ticket, I sure hope so.
There you go. I know. Yep, I've got somebody else doing it as well.
So, I don't know. We'll see. I think, like, you know, like, I'm a San Francisco Giants fan, and we've had our, you know, 3 World Series in the last decade or whatever.
Right.
And none of those years were we favored to win. Like, baseball playoffs to me are not quite like hockey, where it's just such a crapshoot and you have to just quote-unquote pick the hot goalie, even though I think it's a lot of luck. It's trending at least a little bit in that direction to me. I mean, every team now has, you know, such good relief pitchers, which to me is making things a lot more competitive when you get to the postseason, because all those teams have really good starters, but now, like, all of them have really good bullpens as well, so... to me, like, it's really tough to predict. But yeah, I'll go ahead and say the Red Sox advance.
Okay. I love it, Christopher. I do. Hey, listen, please tell everybody where they can follow you and your picks, and then also any kind of special deals that is going on with my bookie, sign up bonuses, anything along those lines. Please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. If you want to follow my own picks, I'm on Twitter at CFB Locksmith, like CFB as in college football. And at my bookie, we have 2 more weeks of the deal where we're going to match your deposit 100%.
Yep.
And use the promo code that I'm sure you guys can give your listeners from your show. But essentially, you have 2 more weeks if you want to deposit and get your bonus matched 100%. Like, you put in $100, we put in $100. You know, it's free money. We're getting down to the end of the over halfway point in the season. Still a lot of games left, but you're basically getting paid to double your money to just kind of experiment and play around if you haven't done it before and you want to give it a shot. We'd love to have you. Absolutely. You know, like I said, 2 weeks left for that deal, so we're kind of running out of time. If you've been on the sidelines, like, now's a great time to jump in.
Christopher, man, I'm telling you, I've taken your picks. I've made money this year. I know a good amount of people that have as well. And You never seem to let me down. Like, there's like one game every now and then, but it's like the rest of the time is, man, you know the SEC and you know the rest of the conferences, and that's why we call you and have you on every Thursday, and we appreciate you so much, buddy. I look forward to seeing what you've got in store over the next couple of days, man, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
All right, thank you, Trey. Have a good weekend, too.
Thank you, Christopher. Christopher Smith from mybookie.ag, all-around great guy. If you don't know Christopher Smith, you actually probably do. You just don't. He was actually the senior editor and strategist at SEC Country.
Awesome.
For the last couple years before that went to the hellhole. Not wasn't his fault. but we'll talk about this. We're going to wrap up the hour on the other side. That was your betting picks. Get them in. I'm telling you, the free play is the deal. You put in 100, they'll put in 100. You got 200 to bet with. Do it.
I like 200.
Promo code local, promo code Knoxville. You can use either one of them. We'll be back on the other side. It's optional, Fox Sports Knoxville. It's optional. We're wrapping up the first hour. Man, last night, you know, before we don't have a lot of time to talk about games, and we'll do that in the second hour. But, man, Juwan Jennings was on SEC Film Room last night.
I saw that. And the first thing, I don't know if that's what you thought, I was like, man, he's came a long way. Like, happy for him.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what
that's I mean? That's the first thing I thought of. Seriously, I was like, man, he's came a long way. He's actually representing the team. On this film room on SEC Network, like think about where he's came from
a year ago.
Yeah,
he's not a part of the team. He's, you know, and I understood everything he was going through.
He's frustrated.
The articles I was writing about it, and was talking to people very close to him. And but for Tennessee, like you said, to allow him to go on the SEC Network,
yeah,
that says a lot about how they feel about Juwan Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. He's always had that character.
Yep.
He's always been a decent guy. But I hate to say somebody brought the bad out in him.
It was. Somebody brought the bad at the previous coaching regime. Like, he just was frustrated and, you know, lashed out. Not in a way that you'd like to see. But
something that 19-year-olds do.
Yeah, exactly. And he's definitely, like, change for the better. I mean, they don't put him out there unless they've seen, like, behind the scenes how he's changed. So, yeah.
And it all started with Media Days on Monday when they let him speak to the media. And I think that what you see right there with Tennessee doing that is they're saying, hey, he's a leader on our team.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let him. You know, we didn't see the – I'm not saying this, but I'm getting at – we didn't see JG.
No.
With Stitchcomb.
Which had a great game.
Right. We saw Juwan Jennings. Mm-hmm. And
those leaders, and I'm sure.
Right.
Obviously, he's done things to earn that.
Yeah.
To earn that spot to be able to speak for the team and to represent the university.
And a lot of people don't know this, guys, but he went through two knee surgeries.
Yeah.
He went through a wrist surgery. So, technically, he went through three different surgeries in a span of, like, 10 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had knee surgery in November. Then they had to go clean a couple things up. I was coming off his wrist surgery. So there wasn't a lot of time to play football and to be active. And
to stay focused and, you know,
right.
And he's do everything they had to do to get back on back. The team.
And he's such a – would it be weird to say, like, maybe not – he's. I think he's an NFL threat. But if he put on 20 pounds, he might be a badass tight end in the NFL. Would that be too far? Would you say that he's actually like an Anquan Boldin type receiver in the NFL?
Yeah, it'd be tough to say tight end because, like, how tall is he?
Maybe 6'1". 6'3".
Is he 6'3"? Okay.
Yeah.
A little bit more height than what I thought he had.
I'm just wondering what position would he play? I mean,
I think he's just more of the possession receiver. They'll put even more weight on him, more muscle, and he'll just be your typical because he's got speed, but he doesn't have burner speed where he's beating you over the top all the time. But he's sure-handed. He's not afraid to take the big hit, and he doesn't, like I say, he just doesn't drop a lot of balls. And he is a great possession receiver. You know, like an Anquan Boldin for sure.
Yeah,
that comes to mind for most people when you say possession receiver. So yeah, he could be that elite. He definitely could.
Yeah.
Puts in the time, puts in the work.
I know. And that's the thing, too. Like, you can tell that he's brought along this wide receiver group, which is really good to see.
Put him on his back.
And we've said it all year long that Tennessee has, you know, they have the wide receivers. They've got the group of guys that can make plays. It's all about getting the ball to them.
Yeah.
And they're doing that now, it seems. Now, look, it's one game. We'll see how they do against Alabama. Brandon will be able to speak to this. Tennessee's probably going to be doing a lot of across the middles, post, you know, outside throws to Callaway, stuff along those lines against Bama. But we'll see how it plays out. I just thought that was very, very – his comments last night were, you know, it was funny. He said, you know, I hate it for his parents. It was probably in the stands when they had to see his son get rocked. But it was just funny, man. And it shows you that Tennessee is – slowly
Juwan but surely. Don't care. He wants all the smoke.
He does, man.
He wants all the smoke.
That's the best part about it. On the other side, Nick Barber joining us at 2:15.
Like
talking
Nick.
National college football.
That'll be fun.
Maybe throwing a little NASCAR just to piss off Bear.
NASCAR Thursdays.
Thank you. Okay, we have a new segment.
NASCAR Thursdays.
Get us out, Brandon. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
McKinney team.